You can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Joshua chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 14. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on growth and increase. Growth and increase. Joshua 24, we're going to start in verse 14. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve who?
The Lord."
The Lord. And so there comes a time in every person's life when they must choose who or what they're going to serve. And that choice ultimately is going to determine the quality of the life that that person's going to have, right? What they choose to serve will determine the quality of life that they have. And Joshua's call to the children of Israel was to serve God, a God who had gotten them out of Egypt, a God who had delivered them, a God who had given them a promised land. And he said, you do have options. You can serve the gods that you left behind in Egypt. There's like tons of Egyptian gods. Or the other pagan gods like the Amorites and in the land that they took over. But for him, he was going to serve God, right? And that choice is going to determine the quality of life that you have. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. And some people in this world who don't believe God say, well, I don't have to serve any God. Well, you're always serving something. And whether or not they want to believe it, there's a God of this world and everything else kind of flows back to him. So there's really only two choices. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people what?
Perish.
But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The word vision here is from the root word for revelation, right? And revelation at the end of the day is the word of God. It's words that God gives us, whether it's written revelation in the Bible we're holding or it's, you know, revelation that we receive by via the Holy Spirit. But where there is no revelation, there's no word of God, the people perish. And that word perish is to wander aimlessly, right? They have no direction. There's no structure. There's no guidance without the word of God. But he that keepeth the law, which in that administration was the word of God, happy is he. So a man's quality of life is going to be happy and it's going to be blessed if what they're serving and what they're seeking after is the word of God, right? That's our signpost. That's where we get our direction from, right? It's our compass. And without it, we perish. We wander aimlessly. In chapter 20, verse 4, Proverbs 20, verse 4, it says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Right? That means a lazy person, a person who's not putting forth any work or diligence, they'll come up with any excuse not to work, to do what they need to do. They'll not plow for reason of the cold. They'll say, oh, it's too cold outside. It's too this today. I'm too tired today. I stayed up too late last night. I've got to do this tomorrow. Right? The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have what?
Nothing
now. Having nothing means you don't have anything. It's very simple, right? You're without. So another possibility is to have the Word of God, but then do nothing about it, right? We can make 1,000 excuses about why we can't do the Word, or now's not the time, or this doesn't apply to me, but the results are going to be the same, right? You're going to end up with nothing. You're going to end up wanting in a spiritual sense, right? So if we don't have the Word of God, then we don't have direction. But you can also have the Word of God and do nothing with it, right? And the result is the same. It's a life without direction, a life that's wanting. Go to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 12. But God gives a contrast here, right? He gives a contrast, and it says in Psalm 92, 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, right? And in this administration, the Psalms are addressed to a righteous person was one who carried out the word and lived for God. They had the law. So they were deemed righteous if they kept the law, if they did the word of God, and they carried it out as perfectly as they could, right? And the description of that person is one of flourishing and one of great increase and growth. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And these were the cedars in Lebanon are enormously tall trees, right? For people in the lands and the times of the Bible, those were like the biggest things that they could see, were these cedars in Lebanon. And so that's what God is saying, that the righteous are going to flourish. They're going to be bountiful. They're going to be abundant, right? As opposed to the person who wanders and perishes or has nothing. Go to Romans chapter 13. And that's why Joshua gave that ultimatum to his people. Who are you going to serve? Is it going to be God, or is it going to be the other one, the other God of this world? Is it going to be anything else? Is it going to be money? Is it going to be your kids? Is it going to be your job? Is it going to, whatever it is, it's something other than God. And in Romans 13, verse 10, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer or closer than when we believed, when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the what? Armor of light. And in the context of chapter 12, that armor of light is love, right? And that's why it starts with love in verse 10. Put on love. In our administration, we are righteous as born-again believers, right? In the law administration, they had to keep the law. In our administration, we're righteous the moment we get born again. So God's call to us is to love, right? And that's what is going to fulfill all the stuff in the law, if we love the way that God calls us to love. And his call is for us to wake up and to strive after that love, because every day is one day closer to the return. That's what it means when it says our salvation is nearer than when we believe, right? Every single day, we are one day closer to Christ's return. So the time is now, right? It's today. It's right this moment. It's already the hour. That's what it means when it says knowing the time, that now is high time. Another translation for that is that it's already the hour. It's right now that we should wake out of sleep and live the way that God's called us to live. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. And that's how we see growth and increase in our lives. That's how we do it. And God's exhortation to us is that there's no time like the present. It's right now. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, this is a reproof epistle to the church and to the believers specifically at Corinth. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto, previously, you were not able to bear it, neither yet now, and you're still not able to bear it, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Right? Their issue specifically was strife and envy and division. Verse 4, "For one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal?" Isn't this a carnal way to think? "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos?" Like, who cares who those guys are? "But who are they except that they're ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" They're the reasons that you heard the word, but that's the extent of it. No one's better than any other. They're the people who you heard the word by. Verse 6, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave" what? "The increase." It's God who gives the increase. "So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God gives the increase." Right? So God doesn't want us to be spiritual babes. He doesn't want us to be carnal. That leads to strife and envy and division. It's God who gives the increase. And that's what being spiritual is all about. It's not, oh, I follow this person or that person or whatever. It's God gives the increase, right? He's the one who causes us to grow as we do his word. Go to Luke chapter 8. And Jesus Christ taught about growth and increase to his disciples. Very, very familiar record here. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. Luke 8:4, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable." And this was the parable. "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls, the birds of the air, devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? Can you explain this parable to us? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, when then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So that first group might hear the word, they might know that there's a God or there's people talking about Jesus Christ, but they never believe. The adversary takes it away before they ever have a chance to believe. Verse 13, "They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. So this group hears the word and they believe it for a little bit, but then temptation carries them away, right? Something comes into their lives and they give up on it. Verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So this group, you know, the stuff in the world becomes more important to them. The riches, the pleasures, the cares of this life, that's what overtakes them. That ends up being the God that they serve. But that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Right? And so that's the group that brings forth the growth and the increase, right? The ones who keep that word. They hear the word and then they keep it. They guard it in their hearts. They put it on in their lives. They meditate on it. They do what they've got to do to keep their hearts grounded in the word of God. And that's where the growth comes from. Because the adversary wants nothing more than to take it away from everybody else, right? He wants whatever word gets spoken out there to fall on anything but good ground so that it gets choked out or it gets burnt away or never, you know, is really sown in the first place. But real growth, real fruit comes from believing God's word. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Some people use that verse that we read earlier in Proverbs, where there's no vision, the people perish, to mean like you don't have vision for your life, or you don't have a plan, or you don't have some kind of outlook as to where you want to be. And that's not specifically what it's talking about, but it is relevant, right? We want to see ourselves where we're going with God, where we're growing with God, right? We want to make sure that we have vision as to where we're going to be in our lives and our walk with God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. And that word sincere is unmixed or pure. Desire the pure milk of the word, that you may what? Grow thereby, right? You want, God's exhortation to us is that like little babies who just want to be fed, right? They're just sitting there crying for their bottle. They desire that sincere milk, right? And our sincere milk is the word, that we may grow thereby, right? That's how we grow, is by getting our heads into the word. He's the source of our growth. And he exhorts us to desire that, right? To look for ways where we can grow. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Because your spiritual growth is a lot like your physical exercise too, right? Like it takes work to stay in a certain level of physical shape, right? If you gotta do something every day to kind of keep your body active or else it regresses. It doesn't just sort of stay there nice. I didn't lift a bunch of weights when I was 20 years old and was like, okay, I'm set for life now. I'm good. I don't have to worry about it anymore. You work every day. You do something to keep that physical shape up, right? So if you just outright quit, then you end up regressing. You don't really stay just sort of even. And it's that way with the word, right? We need to push ourselves every day to get into the word and to do more for God and to walk and talk with him bigger if we want to grow. If we're just sort of like, yep, I'm good where I am, you will end up sort of going backwards, right? And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but grow in grace. And that's unmerited divine favor. That's the favor of God. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. right? Our exhortation is to grow in favor with God and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? We should be growing in a knowledge of the Word. How are we applying it in our lives? What are we doing each day to take a little bit more forward, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 exhorts us to this as well. I think God must have known, you know, that we as people need to be encouraged sometimes in this area. Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And that's in contrast to the verse before, right? We grow up from children into Christ-like believers, right? That's the trajectory that God wants his kids on. That we, from this point forward, we're no longer, you know, just children going about with every little thing that somebody says or does or chasing the next thing that we see, you know, wherever. But that we grow up into Christ. That we grow up to be Christ-like believers, right? And, you know, little kids, they're easy to trick, right? You can tell a little kid there's ice cream around the corner and they'll probably go run around there and check it out. Right? You don't want to be like a child tossed to and fro and believing every, you know, other thing that you see. You want to believe God's word. You want to check everything that you are seeing against what the word of God says. And if it lines up, then it lines up. That's great. But if it doesn't, then it's not worth anything. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5:22. But when we grow, we produce fruit, right? Just like the trees and plants we've got out back. As they grow, they produce. There's fruit from it. There's good things that come out of that growth. And in Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, right? These are the fruit of the Spirit. These are things that we begin to manifest in our lives as we grow, right? More love, more joy, more peace. Those first three, what else do you want? But there's more, right? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. A life that's full of joy, a life that's full of peace, a life that's full of love and gentleness and long-suffering and patience and all the good things that God has prepared for us. That's what we're going to produce in our lives as we grow with God. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it takes an effort just like keeping my body in shape, you know? Stretch every morning. Do a little something to stay in shape. Go on a walk at lunch. Whatever it is to make sure that my body's doing what it needs to do. Well, it's the same thing with our relationship with God, with our spiritual lives. Are we getting into the Word a little bit every day? Are we looking to do something, you know, outside of our comfort zone? Are we looking to walk with God and ask him, how can I serve you better? Who can I talk to? What can I do? Whatever it is, right? Well, we want to build that relationship with God. Sometimes we don't know what to do. And guess what? That's normal, right? And the whole point of this is so that we walk with God and he shows us what to do, right? We get stuck in our own heads thinking, well, I don't even know what I can do. If you try to do it yourself, you're never going to know what to do. The whole point of it is to walk with God and ask him what to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, It says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to who? All. Right? And these things were, you know, the things in the Word of God, the things of God that Paul was teaching Timothy. He says, meditate upon these things, right? Meditate upon them. Give thyself wholly to them. That's a big, that's a tall task sometimes. Are we going to really sell out? Are we going to really give ourselves wholly to it? Or are we going to give ourselves like 20% to it? Maybe sometimes, right? But it says, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all, so that everyone gets to see the profit in your lives. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself. Pay close attention to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save, which is to make whole thyself, and them that hear thee. So we will increase, we will profit as we do it, but so will others. And that's the cool part about the last part of that verse, that thou shalt both save thyself. You know, you make yourself whole, you really have a life that you enjoy living and that's profitable to you, that's abundant, and them that hear thee, right? That you share that word with, that get to see the greatness that you have in your life because of your walk with God and want the same thing. Go to Philippians chapter 3. People should ask you, why are you happy all the time? Why are you blessed? Why are you at peace? Why are you the way that you are when everything else around us is a complete poop show? Right? That's what people should see. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul is giving this by revelation, but Paul received an abundance of revelation in his life. Right? He received an abundance of revelation in his life. And the way that he thought about himself was that he still hadn't attained this place that he wanted to be. Right? I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't reached the final goal in my life, spiritually. But this one thing I do, forgetting, and that's refuting or nullifying those things which are behind, because his past was a pretty effed up past. He murdered people in the church. He killed them. He killed God's people. I don't think any of us have killed God's people. But for him to be able to move on, he had to nullify those things. He had to refute those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before or ahead. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's quite a statement. He presses toward the mark. And that mark is the word scopos, which is an aim, a target, or a goal. He didn't count himself as having achieved some level of spiritual perfection or enlightenment despite the miracles that he did and the revelation that he received. Instead, he continued to push forward towards a goal, and that goal was the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Right? Our calling is a high calling. Let's press towards that mark. Let's press towards that goal. Let's continue to strive every day to grow in our relationship with God. And we're going to close in 2 Peter chapter 1. Because our calling is a high calling. God called you from before the foundations of the world to be his kids. That's a very high calling. It doesn't get any better. But we want to live up to that calling. We want to live up to what God's called us to be as his kids. And that involves pressing towards the mark. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life, and that's Zoe, life in all of its manifestation, and godliness. He's given us all things about every facet of life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. It's through the knowledge of God that we attain all this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, right? If these things, faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness and love, if these things abound in you, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is what? Blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, and that word diligence is spoudazo, right? It's the word for endeavor, to work towards, to put a concentrated effort into. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Live up to your calling and your election. For if you do these things, you shall never what? Fall. But that's true too. You shall never fall. That's a promise in God's word. Right? If we put on these things, if we press toward them with great diligence, we'll never fall. We'll never fall because God is going to have our back. He's going to be there with us. He's going to take care of us. Right? We're going to produce great fruit in our lives. Right? We're going to see the abundance that comes from living up to that high calling. So when we put on that word of God and when we make it a priority in our lives and our relationship with him, then we grow and we increase and we see great things come to pass in our lives. And we'll never fall.